You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Around 80,000 Chinese girls have been adopted by Americans since 1989, over a decade after China implemented its one-child policy. Linda Knowlton's new documentary, Somewhere Between, follows four of those girls, now all teenagers, as they try to make sense of their complex identities. It opens tonight at the IFC Center, and I'm very pleased it has brought Linda Knowlton and two of the film's subjects, Haley Butler and Fong Li, to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Linda, why are the Chinese adoptees mostly girls? Are more girls available for adoptions than boys?
There are. I'm not an expert in the one-child policy, and I am a observer and a student of Chinese culture. But for a very long time, it's pretty well documented that there is a gender bias in China, as there is in a lot of other countries.
I know somebody who's adopted a Chinese boy, but he has a cleft palate, so that made him less attractive in China, I'd imagine.
Sure.
You want?
Yes, I can.
So how many children get adopted from China per year? Hasn't China been cutting down on the number it allows in recent years?
It has. Yes, it has. There was a kind of I think the last spike was 2006. Like you said, there's over 80,000 kids now adopted from China, girls and boys. It is 98 or 99% girls, but it's dropped dramatically, basically in half per year.
Now, Haley, the title of the film is Somewhere Between. Is that something that resonates with you?
Do you feel that way? I do. I think that every transracial adoptee and even every transracial person can relate to that, because we were born in China and our genetics are Chinese, yet we were raised in an American culture. And so for me, especially since I don't speak Chinese, when I go back to China, I feel very stuck between being the American, but when you look at me, you don't know that I'm an American until you hear me speak.
And how do people respond to you in China? Do they immediately spot you as somebody who is an American?
Well, actually, when I travel, I generally travel with my mom, and she's an American, so they see her, and they usually assume that I am the translator, so they come up to me and start speaking Chinese.
Yeah, when I traveled to China, because I started traveling on my own at 14, most people thought that I was a tour guide or something, and just relating to what you said about feeling stuck or caught between two countries, two cultures, two families, two very different identities. The relevance of somewhere is so important to not just transracial adoptees, I believe. And I know I have a bias since I think this film is awesome, but somewhere is everywhere in that I think no matter where you're from, what culture, your background, you can relate to being caught and feeling.
Well, that might be stronger for you than some people, because you were 5 when you were adopted, so you probably have very strong memories of your years in China and your birth parents.
I do. And I think for me, feeling caught, the two identities, if you were asked me to choose one, it would not necessarily be between two cultures as it is between the past and the present. Because for me, when I think about my past and recall the memories I have of my birth parents, it's for answers and for a stronger sense of root and heritage. But I've come to accept that wherever I am, I have to find my own sense of self, and I can't look to the past.
Well, many adopted children wonder why their parents gave them up and feel that something was wrong. They did something wrong, even though they were little children. I'm sure that that's something that happens with Chinese adoptees as well. You're nodding your head, Haley.
Well, you know, I think that.
How old were you when you were given up?
I was 6 months old. Mm-hmm. When I went back and found my biological family, they told me why I was given up. And so before that, I had always thought, you know, our adoptive parents, they tell us that there are certain reasons in China that they can't keep us, and that really provides comfort for when you're thinking, oh, maybe I wasn't good enough for them, or maybe they didn't want me. It's really comforting to know that in certain situations, they just could not keep you. And that's very helpful for when you're going back to look for your family.
Well, in the case of girls, it could either be because their families were extremely poor, or it could be simply because they were girls.
Yeah. I definitely struggle a lot with, especially when I was younger, of a feeling of self-worth because of something that was out of my control, which was my gender. And having gone through a year of college at Mount Holyoke Women's College, I've realized that it's, for me, when I look for my past and look for my family, it's about a feeling of generosity and not blame. And I don't know if I'm being clear about that.
Well, one of the girls in the film, was it Anne, doesn't want to ever meet her birth parents.
Well, you know, one thing I think that's really important to talk about is that these young women were several years younger than they are now. They were 13 and 14 and 15. And so when I filmed them at this very kind of complex, tricky, vulnerable time in anyone's development, in anyone's life, that's how they felt then. And so, things could be different now. And I think that we all evolve over time as we all develop our identities. You know, I would hate to be held to what I said when I was 14, but it's an important moment to, I think, to acknowledge and to capture and to create conversation from.
Well, Haley, you call yourself a banana. Do many Chinese Americans call themselves that?
Well, again, I think Linda just said it perfectly. When you're 13, you don't really keep the same views as you do when you're older. I still think that I am very American. I was raised to be an American, yet I don't really refer to myself as a banana anymore because I think that is such a general term that you can't really capture how you feel inside. You can't capture how you feel when you're in China and how you feel when you're here with a phrase like that.
But that's yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
I feel like a banana. Organic, fair traded one.
From Berkeley. Who's from Berkeley?
Yeah, exactly. but you've chosen to be known by your Chinese name rather than Jenny, which was the name you were given when you were adopted here.
Well, for me, Jenny represents a side of me that is more standoffish and for, as I call, the white public. And what I just mean by that is someone that's not as familiar with my background and my culture. And people who call me Fong, like Linda and Haley and the other girls in the film, see a more intimate, vulnerable painful side of me, but not in a negative way, just very much more comfortable with who I am and not knowing the answers, whereas Jenny, I feel, has to know the answers and goes to college and does all these things and is...
So you see yourself as two different people at times.
I think we all have that, you know, somewhere between mentality.
Going back to the title of the film.
Absolutely, at the IFC Center tonight.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to announce again that my guests are Fang Li and Haley Butler, two of the subjects of Linda Knowlton's film called Somewhere Between, which is at the IFC Center, and you're going to be there as well?
Yes, all of us are, including Anne Bacuti, and we're going to be doing Q&As after many, many of the screenings all weekend. It's listed on the IFC Center website.
Now, Linda, you came to this subject because you decided to adopt a child?
Yes. This is the first movie that I've made since being a mother, and that has been an incredibly new experience. And so, yes, I was inspired by my daughter to make this film. It's my first personal film. So those two things combined have made it an incredible growing experience. I've learned so much about myself, and I've learned a lot about my daughter, and I've learned that I don't have the answers for her and I won't have the answers for her as much as, you know, as any parent. You want to shield your children from, you know, pain and discomfort, and it's not possible.
Well, and she'll be seeing this film. She's very young right now.
She's seven. She's seen the parts that she's in. She's in a little bit of the beginning and the end, and she knows that I've made this movie, and she's met all the girls, and she knows that it's about girls adopted from China. And I said, you know, you're just a little bit too young to see this right now. And she said, yeah, I bet there's a lot of blah, blah, blah in this movie. I said, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Well, you've dedicated the movie to Ruby. It begins with you filing out an adoption application form. Can you describe the procedure for adopting a child from China? How long does it usually take?
It really, really varies, the whole process. I mean, in our experience, it was 14 months from beginning to end, from when we started the paperwork till we held Ruby in our arms. For some people, it was a little bit shorter, and for some people, they've waited 3, 4, and 5 years. So it really, it depends on the day and the year and the circumstance that's going on.
And you met her in an orphanage?
We met her actually at a government office in Changsha, which is in Hunan province, and her social welfare institute or orphanage is in a village in a mountaintop, and they didn't have a road. They didn't have a very good road then. Now there's a superhighway. So they actually brought, there were 15 girls in our group, in our travel group, and they brought all the girls to our, to this government office where we met her.
Now, Haley, you were adopted when you were very young, so you don't remember coming to the United States.
No, I do not. But one thing that I wanted to say when you were asking Linda about the adoption process and for her daughter is that everybody has to remember with this film that everybody's journey within adoption is very individual. So my journey is not going to be the same as Fong's, and the people that watch the movie that either want to find their birth parents or want to help their children deal with adoption, they have to remember that what we show in the film is just our lives, and not everybody's is going to be like that.
And in your case, Fong, there must have been a certain amount of culture shock when you got here.
When I was adopted with two other kids from my orphanage, and for them, I think they experienced a lot more of that immediate shock than I did. I remember the first time I met my mom, and I don't separate adoptive and birth because she's my mom. Mm-hmm. I love her very much.
You won't call her your surrogate mother.
No, because...
But she also made a special effort. She actually learned Mandarin so she could communicate.
Yeah, she learned Mandarin within 2 years so that she could communicate with me because she knew I was older, and she pushed us, ever since the day I was adopted, to continue Mandarin. And so when I first met her, it was in the orphanage, and I hadn't had enough to eat. And I remember thinking, oh man, I hope these white people that the orphanage directors are telling us are coming bring us food. So she comes, and there's no food in her hand, but there's stickers. And she says, she hands them to me like a peace offering, and she says, Fong Fong, I'm your new mother. And I look at her, and it was bewildering and so exciting for me. And I remember that exact moment. And I looked at her, and I said, Mama, because... For me, I just wanted that want, and was so great that I didn't really think about anything else.
And do you still speak Mandarin with your
Fluent.
Mother? Well, you have two younger sisters also adopted.
Yeah, I have an older sister and a younger sister, and we are only allowed to speak Mandarin in the household. And we went to private Chinese lessons 4 times a week, rain or shine, missed a lot of birthday parties for it. But, yeah.
When we traveled together, actually, in China, Fong tried teaching me. I'm a terrible student. I have a terrible ear. But
you're all right.
You're pretty strict, I have to say.
Tiger mom.
Well, in the film, Haley, we see you playing the violin, competing in pageants. Do you still do that?
I do, actually. I just returned from competing at Miss America's Outstanding Teen. I won Miss Tennessee's Outstanding Teen in March of 2012, and... That is my pageant career.
How do you respond when people tell you you're so lucky to have been brought to America? Do you feel lucky?
I don't know that it's entirely fair to say that we were lucky, that we should, that we have a different sense of being grateful to our parents than children that weren't adopted. Because in our cases, we were so young that we had no control over our lives.
But so. This has more to do with pleasing them. It kind of satisfies a certain sense of American exceptionalism.
Exactly. And I think when people say that to me, even when Chinese people say that to me, like, oh, you lucky girl, it's a little bit condescending for me and diminutive because my parents, it's not a one-way street. It's a two-way relationship where I'm getting parents and a family, but they're receiving a daughter, and it's not about what you get, but what happens when you meet your mother and father for the first time.
Yeah, it's about creating a family. I mean, it puts a value on people, and to me, that I always find, you know, it's a very charged term, and I find it very disconcerting. And when people say to me, "Oh, she's so lucky about my daughter," I say, "No, we're so lucky." And there are some people, you know, there's not a normalization of language about adoption, which is one thing that we're hoping will come out of the film. And so sometimes we educate people when they say those things, and then sometimes you don't, because
All of the your four subjects are living in comfortable surrogate families.
Surrogate, I'm assuming
right there.
We don't surrogate.
Like that word.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. In comfortable situations. I'm assuming there are a few unhappy stories from people who've been adopted. And one of our listeners, Sadie from New York, asked, "Do any of the girls have Asian adopted parents? So they think it would have made any difference if their feelings if their adopted parents had been from Asia?"
Well, my dad is Chinese American, second or third generation. But again, I don't really think about that. Maybe because I live in Berkeley or I grew up there, and I was so immersed in diversity that I was desensitized towards that. But for me, if I had to say one of my parents was Chinese, I would say my white Jewish Buddhist mother, because she's the one who speaks Mandarin. She's the one who really enforced it in our home and brought us back to China and forced us to, not forced us, but really strongly encouraged us to connect to that. And one thing that bothers me is when people see my mom, they ask her immediately, "Oh, the father must be Chinese." Yes, my dad is Chinese American. I love my dad, but I'm glad I don't have any of his genes. And it didn't necessarily help me feel a greater sense of belonging because he looked like me.
Fong Lee and Haley Butler, and another one of the subjects of a new film by Linda Knowlton, will be appearing with Linda Knowlton at the IFC Center tonight, to do some Q&As again tomorrow and Sunday. And if you want information about that, you can visit our show page at WNYC.org. The film is called Somewhere Between, and the IFC Center is in Greenwich Village on 6th Avenue, or Avenue of the Americas, if you insist. Thank you all so much for being on our show.
Thank you. It was great to be here.